Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And let us seek the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, our loving God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for this time, and pray, Lord, that Jesus is exalted as we look at his humiliation in particular from this portion. And may we learn those things that you would have for us. May we cling to the truth, and may we apply it to our lives. We thank you, Father, for this time that you've given us to devote to you, and we pray that our prayers would be as incense tonight, that we may know more of your will revealed to us through the scriptures, and that also, Lord, that those things would guide us in the things that aren't directly given to us in Scripture, that we might lead a life of holiness and that is glorifying unto you and exalting unto Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, we're going to look at Christ's humiliation tonight just for a moment, because as we looked at question 22, 23, 24, 25, the question 22 asked, what offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? And Christ as our Redeemer, the answer to that, Christ as our Redeemer, and some of you that do have your devotional, if you want to open it, question 22, the answer to question 22 says that Christ as our Redeemer executes the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his state of humiliation and exaltation. But question 26 is what we're concentrating on mainly tonight. Question 26 asks, of what did Christ's humiliation consist? And it says the answer to that is Christ's humiliation consisted of his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, and being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. And in our portion of Scripture, it's this verses 5 through 11 particularly illustrate questions, or the answers to question 26 and question 27. In question 27 we didn't cover, which is in Christ's exaltation, which we'll look at next time. But we want to concentrate on his humiliation. And the answer covers a great deal of great many verses, as you can see from the catechism. But one of the things that is very key in this portion, which particularly covers his humiliation, is verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And I have to confess to you, for many years of my early Christianity, I had trouble with this verse. I just plain couldn't understand it, and I even couldn't understand the commentaries, most commentaries, that tried to explain it. But being in the form of God, we do have some passages of Scripture that allow us to recognize that in Hebrews chapter 1 it says that he is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. And then also in Colossians chapter 1 it tells us that in him, that is in Jesus Christ, he is the fullness of the Godhead, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So really this expression in verse 6 of being in the form of God not as if he had to be formed, as in putting that together as God formed Adam of the dust of the ground, but that this form in which he assumed in his humanity, in his humiliation, it was being the express glory of the image of God and the brightness of that glory. And that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, because that's what his humiliation is. It's not that in the way that we think of humiliation as being mocked or being made fun of, although that, of course, did happen to our Lord. He was mocked. He was jeered. And often we think of it as that. I was humiliated because people jeered me or they mocked me. And as that certainly is included in what Christ went through, his humiliation speaks of the humility of God, that he is God, and that he thought it not being God in human flesh, it says in verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now that's the place where I really had the trouble. But I believe that there are two ways to look at it, and both of them are correct. This way it says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That though God became a man, it did not take anything away from his deity. It did not rob anything from his deity. So verse 6 speaks of his divine nature, sure, as in his deity, and his divine nature in his humanity. And so you have this beautiful two natures in one person in verse 6, and that it didn't take away anything from being God. Now, the New American Standard Bible also says that that equality with God was not something to be grasped. Also that in Christ's deity, though fully man, there was not anything in him that had to attain unto deity. He is God, was God, evermore shall be God. And so it wasn't something that he had to do in order to become God. So the New American Standard Bible in its translation also has a truth in it. And I think that both of them are true. And there's certainly much more that you could say about verse 6. But understanding that helps us to get a grasp of the humiliation of Christ. Jesus Christ becoming a man. And that we see that in our catechism that he was born. That the God of creation became a baby. He came into the earth as a baby. He did not huge fanfare or anything to come in as Adam was created of the dust of the ground, but he was created probably about 30 years of age, approximately, could talk and think and reason and get married the very first day. But Jesus came in as a baby and had to go through all that. And he came in a low condition, that he was poor, that his mother had to, that in the cleansing of his mother, that the offering that was offered were two sparrows. That's the offering of a poor person that can't even afford a lamb. And that he was made under the law, that he came at a particular time, that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that at the fullness of the time, that he didn't come before the law was given. He didn't come immediately in the Garden of Eden. He didn't come at the time of Abraham when the promise was given through faith, but it was after Moses and the law was given, and a period of time for 1500 years of man being unable to keep the law. But Jesus Christ being born through Israel so that he would fall under the law, so that only in Christ we could see how the law was fulfilled and kept and even honored through him. And that in that, fulfilling, undergoing all the miseries of this life and the wrath of God, and then the cursed death of the cross, he humbled himself. God became a man to humble himself in that kind of humiliation, in order to do all those things, to be buried for 3 days and then continue under the power of death until he was raised again unto eternal life, that God would do that in order to see this in the expression that we have in our passage in Philippians 2. Wherefore, for this reason, because God had humbled himself, and being found, it says in verse 8, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So verse 9, wherefore, for this reason God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this portion of Scripture we'll look at next time when we look at question 27 of what did Christ's exaltation consist. And therein it has packed into it a lot of the things that that answer the question to that catechism, although there are many other verses that are used in the catechism other than that. But humiliation, when we consider that Christ humbled himself, that in his humility becoming a man, and we consider not just what he has done for me, which is important, what he has done for you, what he has done for us as individuals in Christ, but that God would do that at all. That's humbling. That the creator of the universe that made all things and has no need in himself is self-sufficient with all glory and all majesty. Every excellency is his. And there is no excellency apart from God, and all excellency and all beauties and all magnificence and all majesty flows from him, the source, the stay, and the fulfillment of all that is good, for God is good. That God would humble himself to be a man should humble the most haughty of all his creatures. That includes Satan, I would suggest, in a sense. That it would humble even the most haughty, because he would be the most haughty of all of God's created beings. And that it would somewhat suggest that in our passage, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That humility that should come to us when we consider that God humbled himself when there was no need in him to do so, so that he may do this, exalt Christ. Exalt Christ, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is the thing, that as we see that and as we meditate upon the reality of the truth of the divinity of God and the humanity of God in Jesus Christ, that we would be humbled by that. But often, because of the sinfulness and the corruptions of our flesh, what comes? Pride. It's there. Our flesh would try to stomp out the true humility and the blessedness of humility of coming before God. But we have something within the pages of Scripture, even here, that implies a way to gauge whether that humility is a true humility, a humility that is brought unto us by the Spirit, is that if this humility exalts Christ and not self. Because too often my problem is that I will be humble and I will degrade myself and debase myself, and I'm not worthy, and I'm certainly not worthy. But if in doing so it does not exalt Christ, if he is not given a name that is above every name in my humility, then it is not Christian humility. It is not New Testament humility. It is not humility that comes from the Spirit of God. It must be a humility that exalts Christ. Otherwise, it will exalt self or something other than Christ. And when it exalts something other than Christ, there is where I need to fall before my face and repent. And too often I've done that. And I look at this portion this week, and I realize how far short of the humility, true Christian humility, that I should have. I fall so far short of it because I don't often exalt Christ. I'm too self-centered. And I don't want that in my life. I want Christ to be exalted. So there it is. The humility of God. And I want to the humility of God that brings about the exaltation of Christ. Let me read that verse again. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a blessed passage to meditate upon this week. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, that as we enter into our time of congregational prayer, Lord, that through our prayer meeting, Father, that the name of Jesus Christ would be exalted. And Father, that we may decrease, that he may increase, and that our prayers would be as incense because you have humbled yourself to become a man, that we might humble ourselves in the sight of God. And that we may pray according to your will, and that our wills would be bent to honor you and exalt you and to worship and adore you in our prayers. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.